You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me back.
And we're also on the phone with Gay Hendricks, the author of The Big Leap and many other bestsellers. Welcome back, Gay.
Thank you very much, Doug and Tammy. Great being with you.
So we're going to put all of your contact information on our website on how to find the book and quite a few of your other books. So if anybody wants, just visit DougHaldeman.com. It's DougHaldeman.com. And so, Gabe, before we went to break, we were talking about the upper limit problem. Let's go into that a little further. Let's start with where does the upper limit problem come from? Because it's something that how I heard about the book originally was that my coach, is my business and life coach, Tim Brahim, he had done several counseling sessions with me where he brought on some personality profiling experts, and he was really struggling with how to get me through to that next level and really couldn't figure it out. You know, he didn't know if I'm just working in the wrong profession or how I'm structuring my day or what the deal was. And then his coach, James Price, they both have their master's degree in spiritual psychology from University of Santa Monica, all of a sudden turned him onto The Big Leap. When he read it, he texted me at midnight one night. It's like, all right, Doug, you have to read The Big Leap. So I immediately, on his recommendation at midnight, you know, I order the book immediately and dig into it. And once I read it, it completely approached what my issue was, is I was hitting upper limits in my life.
In all areas of both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But it was keeping me from breaking through to the next level financially, keeping me breaking through the next level in our relationship. So let's dive into, where do these problems come from?
Yes. Well, one thing that I wanted to just mention, which is either the oddest coincidence or something, which is that when we bought our house here in Ojai 12 years ago now, we got our mortgage through Tim Brahim.
Oh, very nice.
And I don't think I've ever met him, but our real estate people, Shar and Jerry Michaels, did all their work through him at the time, I think. And anyway, that's a very interesting set of connections there. And also, the University of Santa Monica, interestingly enough, is they happen to use our book Conscious Loving there in their master's degree program when they study relationships. So it's an interesting set of connections. Here we are in California and Missouri. And
yep, that's how that works.
That's amazing, and that's not an accident, because Tim actually has an amazing story of Ojai, California, because it's not exactly in his market area, and he broke through an upper limit by doing a loan in Ojai that was a really difficult loan. And he talked about, when you're standing in that door of success, are you going to knock tentatively, or are you going to kick the thing down and bust through it? And when he landed this one deal that was really tough, that agent started spreading his name all over, and he ended up making something like $3 million in commissions on between all the loans he did in Ojai over the years, and it wasn't even the neighborhood, it wasn't even the town he lived in.
That's really interesting. Well, bless his heart. So back to the upper limit problem. What the upper limit problem is based on is several fears that human beings pick up. Oftentimes you pick them up before you even walk into the first grade or kindergarten, because they're rooted in certain things that a lot of us have difficulty with. For example, one of the big fears that many of us get growing up is what I call the fear of outshining. And if you're afraid of outshining someone else, like your other brothers and sisters when you're a kid or somebody like that, you kind of hide yourself, you kind of hide your genius inside, and you don't let it come out because you're afraid that if I let it come out, that would outshine somebody else and that would somehow get me into trouble or make them feel bad. So there's a lot of people that hide their genius that way.
Yep. I'm one of those.
I can recognize that. I'll tell a story with that a little bit later. Go ahead.
Yes. So one of the big fears that we all need to overcome is that fear of outshining. And you do that by realizing that if you shine, if you go ahead and shine, it's not going to hurt anybody else. It's going to inspire other people.
Yes.
And so I want all of us to know that it's not going to hurt anybody on earth if you go ahead and shine to your maximum.
Right.
The second thing is that many of us from early childhood carry around a feeling that there's something fundamentally wrong or bad about us, that we're supposed to feel shame about being here on this planet. And you know, whatever your life circumstances are growing up, I mean, you don't have much control over that, but what you have to do, in especially as you get into grown-up life and up into your teenage years and get up into adulthood, is you have to start looking at how those old beliefs influence your life and are mm-hmm. keeping you from being successful.
You know, it is really hard work to dig in and actually find those things, to go back to childhood and figure out where those are coming from, because it could be as simple as the fact that we're told no so many thousands and thousands of times as a kid. Everything is no, and there's so much negativity that feeling fundamentally flawed seems fairly normal almost.
Yes, it does. And as a matter of fact, I appreciate you mentioning that, Doug, because wherever we go in the world, whenever I bring this subject up, so many people just say, well, wait a minute, that's the way human beings are supposed to feel. You're supposed to feel sort of ashamed about being here and,
right.
you know, because of original sin and all those kind of concepts mm-hmm. that make people really feel bad about their existence. And the problem with that is that if you don't love and honor yourself sincerely inside, it's really hard to love someone else, too,
right.
because you keep coming up against those same old unlovable things in yourself and the other person, and you don't know how to deal with them.
Right.
So one of the biggest things in life is learning how to love the unlovable, you know, how to learn to love and accept those things that are so hard to accept about ourselves, like mm-hmm. our deep fears and our limitations. But once you begin to open up and accept and love and honor those kinds of things, they lose their grip on you.
Well, one of the quotes you have said, and it really has made a difference to me, was fear is the excitement without the breath.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how often I hold my breath. When I feel uncomfortable or insecure about myself, I literally hold my breath, and it could be 5 minutes later, I'm like, wow, I didn't even breathe.
let's say that again. So fear is the excitement without the breath.
Yeah, that is.
Tell us what that means.
Yes.
Well, what that means is, first of all, credit to Dr. Fritz Perls, who said that. Fritz Perls is a great gestalt
mm-hmm.
therapist of back 40 years ago when I was first coming into the field. He passed away in, I believe, 1970, so I just kind of crossed paths with him briefly. I got into the field in 1968. But one of the enduring legacies that Fritz Perls left us with was this idea that you could change your internal body experience from mm-hmm. fear to excitement very quickly by just remembering to breathe.
Right.
That every time you get scared, you'll find, just like Tammy found, that you're holding your breath. You're not participating with your breathing. You're kind of going, you
It's my protective measure,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's a way to protect yourself mm-hmm. that your unconscious comes up with. You
right.
know, there are better ways to protect yourself, but you got to kind of think your way through those in your
exactly.
conscious mind. But one thing that human beings have wired into us is four different varieties of the fear response. One, you know, you always hear about the fight or flight response, where you fear makes you either want to fight back or run. But there are two other responses that are just as difficult, and that is what we call freeze and faint. So we call them the four F's: fight, flight, freeze, and faint. Because a lot of people, when they get scared, they don't run or fight. They just get confused and kind of get frozen and can't exactly think of exactly what to do. And so those are folks that are freezers. And
right.
some folks are fainters in the sense that when they get scared, they actually get kind of mentally spaced out and can't think clearly.
You know, I'd say that's more common than fight or flight.
It really is.
Freeze and faint.
Yeah, I think you're right, Doug. I think that the freeze and faint response are two things that people don't know about as much, but they're really important in everyday life. So fear makes us do those strange things like sabotage ourselves
mm-hmm.
because we get into a grip of, oh my goodness, I'm a bad person, therefore I can't allow good things to happen to me. And so when something good starts happening, when somebody starts offering you love or offering you a job or offering you money or offering support, what happens is if we're in the grip of that fear, we'll sabotage ourselves and push that love away. And so that's really what The Big Leap is all about. When I wrote that book, it was to put into one place things I'd been seeing and noticing for the past 30 years. So in a way, I'm really glad you like that particular book, because both Conscious Loving, our relationship book, and The Big Leap have really pretty much everything I've learned over the past 35 years in how to really help people move through those big mm-hmm. upper limits. And one place we've really focused at is in the area of business. We've worked with about 800 different business executives and CEOs and folks like that from different industries over the years. You mentioned Michael Dell. He was a great one. And Bob Shapiro from Monsanto back 20 years ago, and many of the great CEOs that I've had the opportunity to work with and hang around, actually, you'd be surprised themselves. They're working on their own upper limits.
You know? Right. Sure.
We all do.
Right.
Yeah, because it's amazing to, you know, I can sit in here in the office with a couple who are maybe, just recently I had a couple in my office that are worth close to $1 billion in net worth, yet they still fight over things like the cost of a $4.39 jar of peanut butter, whether she's going to get the organic brand or the regular old unorganic brand.
Love it. Well, and they would argue, you know, they would probably try to stand up for that argument, saying, well, it's the principle of the thing.
Well, exactly.
And, not really.
Yeah, I took, I had the man of the couple who was upset about the $4.39 peanut butter. I had him actually get out his calculator out of his pocket and figure out how many millions of jars of peanut butter he could actually buy every day without even denting his fortune.
it can help see the absurdity of it. So Gaya, if you can stick with us for a few more minutes, we need to take another quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the upper limit problem that I defined for myself and how it's holding me back. And maybe you can give me a little coaching that all the listeners can, you know, can be able to learn from and glean from. So we're speaking with Gay Hendricks, the author of The Big Leap, and we'll get more when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.